Seattle Sports Snapshot. The Seahawks take on the Saints tonight on Monday Night Football. Hear the game starting with a pregame show at 2, kickoff at 5:15. The Kraken officially kicked off hockey in Seattle with a home opener Saturday at Climate Pledge Arena, falling to the Canucks 4-2. The Huskies rallied back from a 16-0 third quarter deficit to the winless Arizona Wildcats to win 21-16. The Cougs come up just short against BYU, losing 21-19.
Snapshot. Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Getting yelled at already. All right, who can be the Seahawks hero for tonight? 206-421-3776. Who will be the Seahawks hero? They need one. This has not been an easy start for this team. They're in danger of going 2-5. Right now, they're 2-4, a must-win Monday night contest against the Saints. Saints have 9 interceptions on the season. They have the number 2 run defense, but they also have a quarterback who can make mistakes. They have some weaknesses. They have a wide receiver who's injured who won't be playing in this one, one of their top 3 guys. So there are opportunities for someone, Jake, to be a hero. Going to Nate and Lacey. Nate, who needs to be the Seahawks hero for tonight?
Which ones? I'm sorry.
DVRs.
Oh, hey, Nate.
Nate.
Nate,
are you there?
Yes. Yes, I am here.
What's up? Nate, what are you figuring out right now?
I'm figuring out what kind of irrigation system guys need. That's what I'm trying to figure out right now. But I'm
sweet.
Good.
Great. Put that on hold.
I got you. We're good. So the heroes, I think, needs to be our running game. We saw what the Seahawks were able to do the second half against the Steelers, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we're able to just match that from the start of our first drive throughout the entire game, that's going to win us a ball game. I mean, you see, if we're able to rush over what we have against Pittsburgh, 144 yards,
mm-hmm.
and most of that was all in the second half, if we're able to do that from start to finish, I'm sorry, it's going to be hard to lose those games.
Now, all right. Nate, thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. We appreciate, you working and calling us in on the job.
Shout out to Nate
and Lacey. That was awesome.
Sounded like he needed help with his DVR.
That's what I thought he said. He's helping Clayton. He's like, no. What you do is you record it here, and then you access them on the cloud.
But that is going to be the unique challenge. I mean, when Nate, kicks us off and talks about the running game, I mean, honestly, it is going to be where this game is won and lost tonight, because that is exactly what Pete Carroll wants to do. He has made it known to everybody that is declaring who they are and what they're going to be, and that is where the focus is going to be. Can this offensive line dominate and own the line of scrimmage versus a very good Saints defensive front that has done very well against the run this year? And that is going to be the story. And for those that are thinking that, hey, look, they did it in the second half of the Pittsburgh game, that should roll over. It very well could. But the other thing is that there's a different aspect of it when you initially catch the Pittsburgh Steelers off guard, or you catch them in a situation stylistically where they are not prepared for the moment, and you're able to run the football against them while you're down. It's another to start the game off like that and to own the line of scrimmage and to get it going from the start. That's a very difficult thing to do, and we'll see if they can make it happen.
All right, who needs to be the Seahawks hero? Nate was saying it needs to be the run game. You're looking at Alex Collins. You're looking at Rashad Penny being a hero tonight. Bill in Linwood, who needs to be the Seahawks hero?
Yeah, hi, Jake. Hi, Stacey.
Hi.
Hey.
You guys do a fantastic job. I want to thank you for your show. You do a great job.
Oh, thanks.
Tonight, the heroes need to be the combination on the line of Brandon Schell and Gabe Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Jake just said, their defense is pretty darn good. So on pass plays, take 2 steps back and really protect the quarterback. On running plays, use some violence and knock those to the right, to the left. Use some violence and open up some holes for the running backs.
All right, Bill saying got to be the right tackle, got to be the right guard. Brandon Schell and Gabe Jackson in this one.
I love it. I love it. Thanks for the call, man. We really appreciate you. And Bill's word, violence. Violence. Coming out there, and it's not just the desire to run the football. There's execution that comes involved with that, but there comes another level of physical domination that happens when you are able to make it known to the world what you want to do offensively, and you're able to execute that plan and able to execute run the football. when your opponent knows that, that's exactly what you want to do, that's a confident builder right there for your offense and your offensive line. If they can make that happen, if Bill and Linwood, you know, all he's asking for is a little bit of violence, Stacey, a little bit of violence out of this offensive line, within reason, of course. But if you can have that and this group really fires off the ball and is physical and comes downhill, it could turn into some great results, and it's something that you could build off of for the rest of the season.
All right, the Seattle Seahawks are in danger of falling to 2-5 if they do not win this game tonight. It is a must-win against the Saints in Monday Night Football, and they need a hero, Curtis. They need a hero, and that's why I need to know
we've got
who
callers.
You guys
what are we
think
doing?
Will be the hero. I will keep playing this song. I will keep playing this song because I like it, personally. But also because we need some heroes for the Seahawks, 206-421-3776. The Seahawks in unfamiliar territory. They are normally a dominant team, and right now they need someone to step up. You don't have Russell Wilson. You don't have Chris Carson. The defense is in trouble. You need a hero. Going to Otto and Linwood. Otto, who's the Seahawks' hero tonight?
I got to go with the offensive defensive line. Jake and Stacey, I love you guys' show.
We appreciate
Thanks, Otto.
We love you too, buddy.
Oh.
Oh, we lost Otto.
We lost Otto.
Oh, no.
Okay, go ahead, Jake. What's
Dang it. Now,
so he says, look, it's in the trenches.
It is in the trenches. And the aspect of it, and I'm so bummed we didn't get to hear Otto's call, so maybe he can call back. But look, this is something that when you talk about the offensive line, we talked about the running game. But the defensive line, if you talk about forcing Jameis Winston in the mistakes, I don't want to rely on the passing defense to come up with coverage sacks over and over and over again. You need to pressure Jameis Winston. You need to make him feel uncomfortable and force him into making decisions quicker than what he wants to, because he will make mistakes. And this is a quarterback that you can force into that. And this is an opportunity for this defense to really control the game and put their stamp on it.
You know what? I'll say this. Nate, Bill, and Otto looking at the DL, but looking in the trenches, have all focused on the offense so far. Nate says run game. Bill says it's on your right tackle, your right guard, to make sure you can get this done against the Saints. I'm a little surprised no one said defense yet. Waiting for someone on defense. Line four, Michael in Olympia. Michael, who's the Seahawks' hero tonight?
Yeah, I got to say, we need to rely on our young linebacking crew. We need to bottle up Kamara. That guy is just a beast. And then we can't let any tight ends across the middle.
All right, a great answer from Michael. Alvin Kamara, one of the most underrated, I don't want to say underrated, but a name we haven't talked about a ton today and may be the biggest key to a win for New Orleans. Michael rightfully pointing out, look, you got to look at your linebackers. It's not just on Bobby Wagner, it's on the young guys. If Darrell Taylor plays strong side, what can he do to add to your edge rush? If you have, why did I almost say Kendricks? If you have Jordan Brooks at your weak side linebacker, Jake, you talked about him having big responsibilities in this defense. There's a lot on his shoulders. We talked to him on the huddle, and he said basically that he wants to be better. He needs to be better. He took a lot of accountability for that, a big responsibility on his shoulders. Those guys need to stop Alvin Kamara, the Saints' greatest offensive weapon right now without Michael Thomas.
There's no doubt. And it's not just in the running game where Kamara is a threat. It's the passing game as well. And, you know, one of the other things that Michael and Olympia talked about was Kamara and the tight ends. And that, to me, it's really the middle of the field, right? So it's not necessarily one position group that you would look at, tight ends, receivers, whatever the case may be. It is the middle of the field that they have to do so much better in defending in terms of pass coverage. They have to be more assignment sound. And it's not just knowing where, what blade of grass or what area, what patch of grass I'm supposed to be defending. It's understanding and recognizing what the offense is trying to do and being better at pattern matching, being better at understanding what route combinations are coming my way and who I'm supposed to take. And that's something that I want to see this defense take a major jump in. And Alvin Kamara is priority number one, without question, for this Seahawks defense.
Joseph in Tacoma, line five. Joseph, who's the Seahawks hero tonight?
Afternoon, folks.
Good afternoon, Joseph. I was waiting for this call, my friend. What do you got for us?
Well, you know what? So much to say in just so little time, unfortunately. First off, before I touch my Seahawk thing, Jake, is there any way next season John Schneider pulls a rabbit out of his hat and can get my man Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon? That dude is a game wrecker.
He is. I'm sorry, Joseph. There is zero chance of that happening, but gosh, that would be incredible. I'm with you.
And as far as the key guy for the Seahawk, I mean, every other caller's answer sort of falls underneath mine. It's on Pete. It's his team. It's his offense that he wants to run, but more importantly, it's his defense that has not been playing well. So it's on him to fix everything.
Now, I can always rely on Joseph to call it like it is. Now, Joseph, in terms of Pete Carroll and the responsibilities falling on him, what exactly do you want to see for you to be able to say, yep, he was the hero tonight?
Well, I mean, so we have names on this defense that they decided to bring back. Dunlap, Mayoa, they traded for Adams. Well, thus far, if we're being honest, based on what I've seen, guys have not been showing up to those names. Tonight, he needs to get those guys into correct positions. So at the end of the day on SportsCenter, there's Jamal Adams making a play.
There you go.
I love
it. Good call from Joseph.
Good call, Joseph, here. And here's the reason why I like this so much is because when you don't have your franchise quarterback, we talked about individual players, individual stars, and units stepping up to the occasion. But this is where your coaching staff comes to play. This is where Pete Carroll, this is where he makes his money in terms of putting guys in the right position and understanding what is the right strategy. And so him declaring and saying that we need to run the football, all right, he has made a declarative statement about his, not just his philosophy, but ultimately what he believes is the right thing to do for this team at this current time in order for them to win games. Defensively, Joseph points to all the names that are on this defense, good, talented players. Can he and Ken Norton Jr. scheme up this defense in a way where your star players, your impact players, are actually doing just that, making an impact? I really like that call.
All right, going to Drew in Tacoma. Drew, who's the Seahawks hero tonight?
Two words. Thanks for actually taking my call. Two words for you guys here. Ken Norton. I think he needs to be the hero with his defensive scheme in limiting and or shutting down this Saints defense, Saints offense, not just one quarter or two quarters, but throughout the full game to actually get the job done. And, yeah, that's my answer.
All right.
Thanks, Drew.
Yeah, thanks. Really appreciate it, Drew. Thanks for the call, man. Hopefully we get to hear from you again soon. But it kind of goes back to, you know, Joseph's sentiment, but Drew's feeling the same thing is, look, defensively, if you want to run the football, that's great, okay? And let's see if that can bring great results for this group. But, Stacey, you and I also see this as, all right, if you want to do that, and knowing that there are going to be some fruitless drives because of it, your defense has to be able to keep this team in the game. They cannot afford to have a first half like they did against the Pittsburgh Steelers, in my opinion, and struggle, give up 14 points, be in a tough spot. I think that this defense, there's a lot on them to be able to carry this team through the majority of the game.
Jennifer in Stanwood. Jennifer, who's the Seahawks hero for tonight?
Okay, so, you know, statistically that if you win the turnover battle, you're going to probably come out on top.
Right.
And so I think that Jamal Adams' hands instead of his face need to be the hero this week.
Jennifer, I love it. Okay, all right. That's a great hero to call upon. Jamal Adams' hands being the hero.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Jennifer, thank you so much. And look, she points.
Look, his face was so close to getting a pick.
So
last
close.
Week.
Honestly, if he's not wearing a visor,
could just hang on.
If he's not wearing a visor, then that thing might get stuck in
now,
the.
Here's
face
my
mask.
Question: if it gets stuck in your face mask and you run it back, does that count as having possession of the ball?
Oh, yes, it's got it. Yes, it does. Your helmet has possession of the football.
You run full steam ahead with the, you haven't secured
correct.
It to your body.
The ball is lodged
in your helmet.
I wouldn't even try to worry about trying to take it out of the helmet as I'm running. Just
I'd fight
go.
That. If
just
I was
go.
Sean Payton, I'd fight that.
But it would be true. You've got, that would legitimately count as a touchdown. Now, to Jennifer, what she's pointing to at a larger scale and what we've kind of touched on today as well is turnovers.
Purposeful
turnovers. Is a huge aspect of this. And if you're going to win this football game, the turnover battle is going to be critical, not only trying to take turnovers away from the other team, but to take care of the football yourself. And if you can steal possessions from the New Orleans Saints, That's going to be big. That's going to be awesome for your offense to get more opportunities. And quite frankly, that's something that I believe has been a big reason why this group has struggled on both sides of the ball this year, is the lack of opportunities that this defense has not been able to create. And so that to me is another great, great point that Jennifer makes right there.
Who's the Seahawks hero for tonight? 206-421-3776. Joe in Spokane, who's the Seahawks hero?
I think tonight it's going to have to be Puna Ford. Him and his long arms and his tenacity. He's going to have to wreak havoc with Jameis, make him rush his passes, make bad decisions so that Jamal Adams' face can make a play. Stop Kamara. Just get in there and disrupt his routes so that Bobby and the rest of the guys can come in and stop the runs.
Now, Joe, I really like this call right here, because this is a name that we have not talked about enough, in my opinion, myself included. Puna Ford, guess what? He was the guy that you decided to pay. Puna Ford was the guy that they decided this offseason was going to be someone that they wanted to see long-term, and that ultimately they were ready to move on with life after Jaron Reed. Jaron Reed could still be a part of this group right now, and he's not. And Puna Ford, up to this point, has done okay, but has not lived up to expectations. The expectation was that Puna Ford would take the next step as a pass rusher. He would take the next step as a disruptor on the interior of this defensive line as a playmaker, and that has not happened. So, Joe, from Spokane, you call upon Puna Ford being the hero. If he can be disruptive and actually generate some pressure from the interior on Jameis Winston, you're going to force him into bad decisions. If you can be a disruptor on the interior of this defensive line in the run game, Alvin Kamara doesn't have room to work and make some spectacular runs that he is capable of. So I really like that call from Joe in Spokane.
Here's why I like the call from Joe, because to me, the hero has to be someone who goes above and beyond the call of duty, or has to be someone who does something that other people think he might not have. For instance, my hero of the game is going to be Alex Collins, because Alex Collins is a backup running back. Alex Collins did not sign on to this team with the expectation that every single week he'd get 100 rushing yards per game. Alex Collins got 100 rushing yards last week. If he can try to duplicate that effort this week on a busted hip, on a messed up hip and leg and glute from last week, that's a hero's effort. You're the hero for this game. Because when I look at Puna Ford, I think, doing your job as a defensive tackle, stuffing the run, you've always been a good run stuffer, help with that. Being the hero would be Puna Ford having some batted passes or a fumble recovery. That's above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
To me, what I'm looking at for my defensive tackle. Be disruptive, but like, I'm not looking at you to be my leading pass rusher. If you can do that for tonight, mm-hmm. you can be the hero. That to me is when it goes above and beyond.
Stacey, that's a great take and everything, but we all know who the real hero is going to be, and that is that's my guy, Rashad Penny. Rashad Penny is going to step up above and beyond.
Were you hoping Curtis would play the music?
No, I wasn't hoping at all. I could do just fine without that. So.
Jason and Bonnie Lake. Jason, line one in Bonnie Lake. Who's the Seahawks hero tonight?
Hello, thank you for taking my phone call.
You're welcome.
We all know that Pete loves to run the ball, and I'm certain that New Orleans knows that as well. So our game plan is going to be to run the ball. So the hero, if we're going to win tonight's game, is we're going to have to rely heavily on Geno Smith to play at or above his ceiling.
Mm.
And if we're going to count on him to make play action passes, he's going to be dishing the ball off on to convert third downs to our tight ends. And then the hero is we're going to expect him to go over the top to take the top off of them, because they're going to be playing at or at the line of scrimmage. And so if we can get one or two explosive plays, I think it's enough to switch this game and put us in the W column.
I like it.
Jason, this might be the call that we point to and say, remember when Jason from Bonnie Lake called us yesterday and said that Geno Smith was going to be the hero? This could very well play itself out to be that way. If there's so much focus and attention on the running game, there's going to be opportunities for Geno Smith to take advantage of it in the play action game down the field. But really, you have to be a perfect distributor of the football. You have to take care of it. And also, let's not forget, ladies and gentlemen, that if you play this style of game and you play a one possession type of game, you very easily, like they were against the Pittsburgh Steelers, in a situation where you are going to be in a two-minute drive where Geno Smith is going to have to lead this group down the field and get a field goal and a touchdown to win. So Geno Smith could easily end up turning into the hero of the game or the needed hero of the game. Good call here from Jason and Bonnie.
Also, if we're talking about opportunities, the Saints, they are coming off a bye week, but in week five, their last game, this one against Washington, allowed five explosive plays, 16 pass yards or more, including four of those being 20 yards or more. So there's some opportunities here. They are susceptible. You look at them allowing against the Giants. They lost that game to the Giants. They allowed two touchdowns of 54 yards and 51 yards. So Jason rightfully pointing to the fact that, like, look, there's some opportunity here. Going to Luke in Seattle. Luke, who's the Seahawks hero tonight?
Hi. Hey, I'm looking for the rest of the season, so I really think Geno Smith is one that has to step up and be the quarterback that's going to help us get to the playoffs if we can manage to still do that.
Wait. Luke, so are you saying this in the idea that, you know, Geno Smith is the quarterback for the next couple weeks, or that he is the quarterback even when Russell comes back?
As far as I could tell, Russell wasn't going to be back for 6 weeks. So if we have any chance whatsoever, Geno Smith has to step up today and the next 6 weeks.
Okay. All right. So good call there, Luke. And you're right. It is going to be a big part of whether Geno Smith can manage this game and whether Geno Smith can come up with the timely throws and be able to put this team in a good position when called upon. So that is something that I agree with. Now, this isn't going to be on Geno Smith's shoulders, though. What Pete Carroll has declared is that this is going to be on the running game. This is going to be on the offensive line. This is going to be on the running backs for this offense and really for this whole entire team. Pete Carroll firmly believes that the running game helps offset and balance the entire issues that you are having right now on both sides of the ball. And so that part of it, that execution, has got to come through.
Last caller here, Trace, calling from Sacramento. Trace, who's the Seahawks hero for tonight?
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Appreciate that. Yeah, I'm going to go with Jordan Brooks and Bobby Wagner, because Alvin Kamara, the last time he was in town, he destroyed us up the middle and around the edges, and we need our linebackers working sideline to sideline and helping back up that line, plugging holes. So I think those two guys are going to be the key to stopping Alvin Kamara.
All right. Shout out Jeremy. Also, Trace in Sacramento for calling in. Zach and Bobby, we didn't get to you guys today. Jeremy, Zach, Bobby, shout out to you guys for calling in. One last comment, Jake, on that before we go to break.
Yeah, thanks for the calls, guys. Once again, always great. We appreciate you. But, you know, Trace, when you're talking about this and Jordan Brooks and Bobby Wagner, I remember 2019. I remember being there at the game and watching it and watching this group struggle to tackle Alvin Kamara and struggle to tackle him in open space. The best thing that you can do to try and contain him is to keep him bottled up. If you allow Alvin Kamara to get into the open space, this is one of the most dynamic runners in the NFL. Tremendous balance, and it's going to put a major stress on the Seahawks in terms of their ability to tackle in open field, in open space, and that's the one area that you do not want to see Kamara in. So if you're Jordan Brooks, Trace, to your statement, Jordan Brooks, Bobby Wagner, everybody's going to have to do their job in bottling this guy up and not allowing him to be in open space.
All right. It is our weekly game show, Saints, 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 getting you guys ready for this one. It's coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Saints, 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 Saints.
Your weekly game show, getting you ready for the Seahawks' upcoming
nice.
Opponent. And that's
thank
right,
you,
it changes
you.
Names every single week based on the opponents. This week's game show is Saints, Saints, Saints. Jake, I'm going to let you choose whether or not you go first this week, because there is a question in here that is a little tricky and I don't want to be accused of cheating. So you pick whether or not you go first. And then it'll be randomly sorted to you. Hurry up.
I'm going to go first.
Okay. Jake,
he wants the ball. He's going to score.
Jake,
in honor of Matt Hasselbeck,
that's right.
Very important. We have two game shows this week, as Curtis rightfully noted, which means that someone has an opportunity to sweep.
That'd be huge.
That's big. That's huge. Okay, Jake.
Turn the tides.
True or false? The Seahawks defense has more sacks this year than the Saints.
True.
That is correct. The Seahawks defense has 11 sacks this year. I think maybe 10. Either way, New Orleans has 8. They're tied for last in the league with Jacksonville and Kansas City. Gross. Curtis, question for you. Jacob, 1-0. You got to get this one. I mean, you don't, but you should. This is a question that required that you be listening to something I said
earlier today.
Wow. Jeez. Real glad I picked first.
The Saints defense has how many interceptions this year? I mentioned it multiple times.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Is it?
I've said it over and over and over. It required is that you listen to me.
Well, the correct answer is 11. No, it's not.
No. The correct answer is 9.
Buffalo Bills.
The Saints defense has 9 interceptions this year. Jake, you have a 1-0 lead. You can further that lead now. The last 4 Seahawks Monday night games have been against NFC opponents. What's the Seahawks record in those games?
Say it one more time.
The last 4 Monday night games for the Seahawks have been against NFC opponents. What is the Seahawks record in those games?
4-0.
Yes. All right. Jake takes a 2-0 lead. Curtis, I need you to focus.
Let's go.
The Seahawks are 33-10-1 in primetime games under Pete Carroll. Which game ended in a tie, and what was the final score?
6-6 against the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday Night Football.
All right.
You had a couple of missed field goals.
Okay, that's enough.
Okay, you want me to keep going?
Jake.
Who got injured in that game?
Injured?
Somebody got injured.
In that tie game?
Yes.
Was it? It wasn't Richard Sherman. I know he was injured, but not that wasn't the season ending.
Was it like Cliff Averill or somebody like that?
I don't know. I can't remember who it was, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jake, you are ahead 2-1. You have a chance to pull further ahead. Jameis Winston, the Saints quarterback, became the youngest player ever to win the Heisman Trophy. He was just 19 years old. He also became the second freshman to win the award. Who was the first?
The second freshman to win the award, the first.
Turning my computer so you can't be a cheater pumpkin eater.
God, I
know.
There's no stealing. You can answer it, but you don't get the point. Jake.
2019.
No, he became the youngest winner at he was 19 years old.
I know, but when did he win it?
I'm not telling you anything.
Okay, yeah. All right, I'm going to say, that's not right. I think he won it as a sophomore. Is it Tim Tebow?
No.
Johnny Manziel.
It is Johnny Football.
He won it the year before.
Curtis, with a chance to tie it, congratulations, you got the tricky question.
Yeah.
Because Jake chose first. Beastquake is one of the most famous moments in the all-time battle between these two franchises. Who scored that? I'm just kidding. How many yards was that touchdown?
Oh, man.
Every other question I had about the Beastquake was way too easy.
it's more than 60 yards.
Yeah, don't look at
it. Is it 64 yards?
Oh, no. 67.
Yes.
Jake, you are leading 2-1.
Woo!
The Saints came into that game as a wild card team. We know the Seahawks were 7-9 and NFC West winners. What was the New Orleans Saints record that year?
What was their record that year?
They were
13-3, weren't they?
No. They were 11-5.
The Saints were?
Curtis.
I know Jake's question's more than my own.
Once again, you have a chance to tie this game.
Come on.
Shout out to the Seahawks communication staff for putting this one together. Quandre Diggs needs one interception. This is actually wild. Quandre Diggs needs one interception to become the only player in the NFL to record at least 3 interceptions in each of the last 5 seasons. In which 2 games this year has he had an interception?
Oh, man. He had an interception against the 49ers. And he had an interception. I'm trying to remember here.
If you think about it, once you hear the answer, you're going to be like, oh, yeah.
Oh, was it against the Colts?
Is that your final answer?
It is, unfortunately.
No, it was the Rams. He intercepted Matthew Stafford
right.
in the end zone. Remember,
his old
there was
teammate.
All that. Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay.
Boy, this is one of our worst shows.
And you guys, I said these questions
so
were easy.
Bad.
All right.
What is wrong with this, Curtis?
Jake, you can win it with this one. I just know he's going to get it.
Come on, what is it?
The last Seahawks win over the Saints was in 2013 and was also a Monday Night Football game. In the first quarter of that game, Cliff Averill sacked Drew Brees, and Brees fumbled the ball. That ball was recovered and returned for a touchdown by which Seahawk? Curtis, do you know?
Michael Bennett.
Yes! Jake wins this week. Curtis, this was the last question, which you don't get any points for the sake of knowledge, with no Michael Thomas, who is leading the Saints in targets? Deontay Harris, Marquez Callaway, or Alvin Kamara?
I'm going to say Alvin Kamara.
It's Alvin Kamara. Yeah.
Oh, man, I needed that.
You know what, Jake? I think Jake evened the series on the season, so you guys are now even. Man. So Friday's trivia game... Jags.
Another championship opportunity. That's what the Seahawks are looking for. That's what we're looking for here.
Do you want to know what the tiebreaker was going to be?
Yes. Yeah,
you guys absolutely. If we went to a tie, you guys were going to go back and forth naming the starting lineup from the Beastquake game.
The starting offensive and defensive lineups?
Yeah, I was just going to let you go until one of you guessed wrong. Whew. But the minute one of you were wrong, you... we're done.
I was looking at highlights of that this morning. Holy smokes. Because Matt Hasselbeck getting inducted in the Ring of Honor. He was the quarterback that day. Yeah. Brandon Stokely and Mike Williams each had touchdown receptions that day
for the Seahawks.
Brandon Stokely, does anybody remember him as a Seahawk?
I remember him as a Seahawk, but I would not have guessed that he was a part of the team that year.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so here's how this is going to work. This hour of Jake and Stacey, by the way, brought to you by Kings Heating and Air. I have to get out to the stadium for the End Zone Seahawks pregame show. Jake and I, by the way, are going to be on the Cairo broadcast. Jake is going to be on pregame tonight with Chris Francis.
Yes.
And then I'm going to join them for postgame. It's going to be really fun, but I have to leave, so you are going to be in Jake's hands. Jake and Curtis are taking over for the final segment. I apologize in advance. I'm not making any promises, nor am I taking any responsibility.
Best segment of the day coming up.
So you need to help them out.
We won't be interrupted by any songs about heroes or anything.
Go ahead and play me out with that song, Curtis. You're going to send in your questions for What I Need to Know to help them out, 206-421-3776. Get those questions in, 206-421-3776. Any question you want, Jake and Curtis closing out the show, and I will see you all at the game.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
All right, everybody, welcome back to What I Need to Know. Stacey, as she said, she is on her way to the Seahawks game. I will be following close by as we are going to be doing the pre- and post-game for Cairo. So that'll be fun with Chris Francis. Looking forward to that. But Curtis, we got some major questions here.
We do. What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, and Electric. This one comes to us from Tyson. By the way, the number to text, 206-421-3776 is the number. Tyson Gig Harbor, he wants to know, what happens to Ken Norton if it's painfully obvious that the defense has another terrible game yet again tonight?
Another terrible game? Absolutely nothing. That's just the honest truth. I mean, absolutely nothing will happen. They will continue to keep doing what they're doing. And look, they will hope for better results. And I think that when it comes down to this group with Ken Norton Jr. and Pete Carroll and defensively what they're going through, they really believe that it has everything to do with this group playing more of the need to play together rather than the plan itself. That is what they believe in that building. And I don't think that's going to change. I don't believe you're going to see any changes to this Seahawks coaching staff or defensive staff midway through the season unless they lost this game and then somehow lost to the Jags. That would be the only way I could see them making some, you know, barring some catastrophic situation, that's the only way I could see them making a move. Up until then, I don't see them parting ways with anybody till after the season.
This one comes to us from the 206. They want to know, this is Spencer, they want to know, who's your favorite Kraken player so far? Good question.
Ooh, this is a good question. Because, Giordano is somebody that is, obviously, that comes to mind. I mean, he's the captain, and obviously, I think that what he comes from with his career being in Calgary, but my favorite player so far, I would have to say, is probably Brandon Tanev.
Fan favorite.
I would say Tanev is somebody that I've really gravitated towards, and I want to see him be successful this season. He has what it takes, but I just think that overall, from their forwards, they've got to have more consistent play, and you could just see, Curtis, that they're not in sync with each other. When it comes to setting each other up, when it comes to, you know, opportunities, when you have an opportunity on goal, it's just not executing at the level that I would like to see. What about you?
Yeah, a lot of people going with Brandon Tanev on the text line. For me, I am going to say I really like what Vince Dunn has done. No pun intended there. When he's been in the lineup, obviously getting that first goal on Saturday night. I'm really hoping more from that first line, though. Guys like Jaden Schwartz and Jordan Eberle, they've got a lot of fanfare coming over.
They did, yeah.
But, yeah, I think Brandon Tanev seems to be the guy that everybody is sort of latched onto right now. I'm kind of partial to the goalies. I would love it if Philip Grubauer became what he was in Colorado here.
Yeah.
The goalie is just the guy that everybody's kind of drawn to.
Well, it's true, but it's also it's one of those positions that, yeah, they can individually have incredible performances. And, you know, when you've got one that goes right between the legs, I mean, that's on you. But you're also at the mercy of how your defense is playing as well and how they're setting you up. So that is one thing that I've been slightly disappointed with, is that it has been all on Philip Grubauer, it feels like, rather than having a good cohesive unit that's playing well together and setting him up for success. But, you know, one of the other things that you have to look at as well is that Colin Blackwell has not played yet.
True.
Yanni Gord has just played in the second game. So there's reason to be optimistic that you're going to get more out of your front line here soon.
Really good question from the 206. With it being Matt Hasselbeck Ring of Honor night at Lumen Field, what is your favorite memory of Hasselbeck in a Seahawks uniform or favorite moment?
Oh, man, there's so many of them. Like, honestly, with Matt, that he was the quarterback that I grew up with. You know, I mean, Matt was our guy, Curtis, and I just have to go from a personal experience, to be quite honest with you, because I had opportunities to meet Matt. One at his QB camp, there's a picture of us that I've tweeted out before, me with ridiculously long hair and very awkward looking with Matt. But, you know, Matt was always so gracious and so kind, and he was great. You know, when I met him in person, he not only was really nice to me, but also was willing to give pointers and tips and really go beyond than just the, you know, hey, I'm going to be nice to this kid in the moment. They actually take an interest into who I was, and that really meant a lot to me. So my favorite memory of Matt goes behind the scenes and not necessarily on the field. But, man, him operating that offense and him going through the progressions in that West Coast offense, I can still picture it in my mind. Thing of beauty.
God, he had a prolific career here in Seattle that doesn't get as appreciated as I think it should be, because of the guy who immediately followed him here and True. Russell Wilson, and, you know, blew all of his records out of the water. But, man, what Hasselbeck did, I mean, taking them to as many playoff appearances as he did, especially, look, this team before Hasselbeck got here and before Holmgren got here, playoffs not a familiar territory for this bunch. I think they went over 20 years without winning a playoff game. It was like 1983 was the last time. Just seeing them win those championships, the image that is kind of burned into my mind, and it's not him playing the game, but it's him carrying the George Halas Trophy off the field after the 06 NFC Championship game above his head. That, to me, is kind of a moment that sticks with me just as a young Seahawks fan.
Well, and that's a great moment, and I love that. And the other thing is you mentioned all the winning that they did. I mean, it truly was incredible, right? It really changed the idea of who the Seahawks are and what they could be and what could be accomplished within this franchise. But I'm just thinking about it and just looking at Matt Hasselbeck throwing to Bobby Engram on third down and him throwing a low ball and Bobby going and getting it or ducking down before you know, the rest of the defenders could get him. Or how about the connection that he had with Daryl Jackson? I mean, those two were phenomenal together.
206, texting, we want the ball, we're going to score. Had that turned out in the Seahawks' favor, that would have gone down as one of the most legendary moments in NFL history.
It would have. Unfortunately, it did go down as a legendary moment, just not in the right way.
Yeah, a couple of extra texts coming in here about who's everybody's favorite. We got a vote for Morgan Geeky. That's from the 425. 503 says Brandon Tanev looks like a Seattle dude. He does. He definitely does. Let's see here. This one comes to us from... There's a really good one. Okay, yeah, from the 206. They want to know, Jake, is it better to have a quarterback on a favorable contract so you can get a few extra players to surround them, or have the very best quarterback in the league but not enough money to go build out the rest of the roster? Which is the better route for a GM to take? That's from the 206.
Well, the best route that you could ask for, I think, when it comes to just in your dream of a GM and roster construction, it is to be able to build a team with a rookie quarterback. You're on a rookie deal, and therefore you have more money to spend in other ways. But make no mistake, every GM would love to have a franchise quarterback. And what it does, though, is it puts more pressure on you as the GM to draft well. And I believe that's currently what we're seeing with this team, is that from 2017, we highlighted it during the week this week, Curtis, or last week, that since 2017, this organization has really struggled. And that's why you're having a hard time finding true depth and true talent that you're excited about and that they can build off of. They just haven't done as well in draft, and that's what makes it difficult when you have a franchise quarterback that takes up a lot of your salary cap. All right, that's going to do it for us here at Jake and Stacy. Thanks for hanging out with us. It was awesome doing a mini preview of the game. You are going to be taken right to the Seahawks pre- and post-game show coming up, hosted by Michael Bumpus and the rest of the crew. We'll be back at it tomorrow talking to you about this game, all the reaction, everything. Make sure you're tuning in with us from 10 to 2 coming tomorrow. See you later.